Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Yes! What an interview we've got today, Paul.
Unbelievable.
Big Shags.
Big Shags it is. The man, the myth, the legend signed me some call of, didn't he?
Motherwell, right back, Scotland, right back, Stephen O'Donnell. How you doing, mate? All right?
I'm good, thanks, yourselves.
That's you made it, now you're on. Congratulations, young man.
Since you seen Charlie on it a couple of weeks ago, I went, I need to get myself on there. That's where it's all happening.
By the way, it's a bit of a handsome off of him and Big Charlie.
Well,
man's got a bit. That's what he's an ugly bastard, look, but he's...
I'm glad Charlie isn't on today because I'm now the best looking person in the studio without a doubt. And including all the producers.
They are ugly bastards, aren't they? They are ugly bastards.
And Zai also said, after he came back when Scotland qualified, that he deleted every Motherwell player's
number.
Motherwell player's number? It wasn't just the Motherwell player's.
Oh, his mates.
Zai Ferry, I didn't even know whose number yours was.
Seriously, honestly.
By the way, I've got to take a big part in him getting the Scotland squad. I gave him that tough upbringing when he was a kid at Celtic.
He used to
That's
why he's calling me Shags. Never been like that in my life. I've got two kids, so you can maybe call me now, but I used to get a bus, or my mum would drop me off at the bottom of Hamilton. He was that miserable that he wouldn't get Nicky Riley, who he lived with, to come down and pick me up at the bottom of the hill. So I had to walk up the hill at Hamilton, all the way up to the doorstep.
Learning your trade, mate.
And I learned my trade, and then I would be squeezed in the back of the Peugeot Coupe and chauffeured into Lennoxtown for about 5 months.
Were you terrorised?
It was actually probably a good one. I think Si took me under his wing.
Did he, mate?
Because he knew me then.
He
didn't slaughter me too much, whereas the other boys got a bit.
I went out the game, do you think? With the younger boys now? Just quickly, because we don't want to go on about that, just today.
Look, I think it's Snowflake comes into it, but I'm borderline that
You've
generation.
You've got a few Snowflakes on it, it's dangerous. So.
Football's changing. I think I'm benefiting from it a wee bit as well. I'm not maybe the old school getting slaughtered every week. Don't know how beneficial that would be to myself, but no, it's certainly the stick and the banter, and even I was joking to Slaney the worst bit about Celtic was when I was injured for the year, was that I wasn't allowed to play pool because I was a young boy.
I used to turn it be the cool. Get away.
Honestly, I get grassed in. We weren't allowed to go for breakfast. Bear in mind, I would been up the whatever o'clock, ridiculous o'clock we use. And I wasn't allowed to eat till all the first team of the day, which is understandable.
Rightly so.
But I would then go up. And I wasn't allowed to get treatment because I was not on a treat. You can't ice your heart, can you?
P-heart, was it?
P-heart, not my heart. No. Yeah. And I thought it was nobility, but it turned out to be my heart. But so I was in and didn't get, I wasn't allowed to play pool, so it was devastating. Just sitting, twiddling my thumbs with Mr. Clark.
Right, you've trained them both on the spot. Who's a better player?
Without a doubt, Si. I want technique in my team. I'm the runner, so I can't have other runners. If I'm going to...
He was a runner?
Without a doubt.
Hi.
What? A runner? So Charlie didn't say you were James Milner. I've never seen enough of you, mate. So if he's saying that's James two Milner. People now. I'm a bit worried.
Thinking
I thought, can I just say, I thought Charlie was at the wind-up, mate, but that's two or three that have actually came on and said you were a runner.
I remember when you came back, I used to school you a lot, and I'm disappointed. I used to nearly end this guy's career early on, didn't I?
You're not alone, there's a few boys in the market.
No, listen, Simon, but what the people don't know sitting at home, they know we are moments away for the squad getting announced. And we do, he's fairly relaxed and yeah. I don't know whether there's something he's heard before, si, I don't know.
Has there been any indications for anyone that you'll be in it or no in it?
There's been a fitness for duty for him out and that's really it, so we don't...
Surely you're in then if you've got that now.
Nah, because I got a fitness for duty the first squad and wasn't in it, so... And right. Then I was looking to book my holidays and then get a call because there was a call off, so not guaranteed yet.
Nervous, I can feel it in the air. We're there. But Steve Clark's pinging you, mate. You've done well, haven't you?
Like, I need to make sure I speak to him tonight when I'm having a cup of coffee with him at dinner.
He's your dad. Is he your dad? That's your phone.
Oh, shit. That's what it is. It's my missus.
Is he your dad and your missus?
Nah, no. That's yeah? too far. Sure. I'm in the squad.
Yes! Wow. How are you feeling, big boy?
Delighted.
Do you think you deserved it?
I'll tell you,
that's not for me to say.
Performance against Alaba.
Aye, he was talking.
No, I'm being serious. Was it? I thought you played him really well, mate.
By the way, best smelling guy I've ever came up against in my life.
Was he?
I got his top after the game.
Even him farting on your motor, better than that.
He didn't fart, he was just bursting spots.
Oh my God.
This guy, Simon, honestly, this fucking guy, he used to clean my knickers at Celtic. I've humbled him. I've humbled the guy and he comes out with that.
Oh, so I don't remember that. I got his Celtic, he got the wee travel books, wee green, and he's gave me one of them.
Did
he? Aye.
What, we gave yours?
Aye.
See, there you go, good guys.
Good guys. I took him under my wing, whereas this guy, nothing, miserable.
Simon,
richest reserve player in history, was it really?
You're right, Rich. You cleaned my knickers and enjoyed that. I gave you a background that you had to Simon succeed. Do you know what I mean? And that's where you're new at the Euros. You can always remember and tell the Scotland boys, his knickers were brilliant, Simon.
What were the thongs? Did you play with thongs?
We sell like thongs.
What was I going to say before we got into football? Just your brother's a priest that night?
Brother's a priest, yeah. We both get transfers to Mullow at the same time. So
is he a parish in Mullow?
He's in Mullow Cathedral, right? So, ironically, where I get married and where my two kids have been christened. So.
Wow.
So it's a real home affair.
Do you go to confirmation? What's the man you go to when you tell your sins?
Confession.
Do you do that?
I've done it.
Do you, mate?
The reason I bring it up is because would he be interested in marrying him in the winger?
Sort it out, bro.
Show him your screen saver.
I've not a phone.
Oh, is it still that?
No.
Is she good looking?
Nah, she's nice, mate.
Yeah. Without a doubt, then.
There you go, sorted.
Nice big chapel, not high ceilings. You look the... Well, your missus might look the part. You still look terrible, but...
This guy's gone and blown my head, ain't he? I swear to God.
But by the way, watch him just now, because did you not see him put the Eric Ferguson in his place?
Did you put that on?
You've not seen it? No, do you watch your show?
I've watched a couple, aye.
What
my mates are mad on it. Watched a bit of Charlie's. Watched a bit of Andy's. I've watched
like Andy's been on for about fucking 6 months.
Andy Considine, I know that.
Andy Considine.
Do you feel blessed to be here today?
Nah, not quite.
He's going to Euros, man.
Well, I'll tell you something. This interview,
I'm blessed to be in size company again.
I'll tell you now, this interview might get scrapped and me and you might be in there fucking scrapping the way it's gone, Simon. I'll tell you, Stephen.
He's a big boy. So look at the arms on it.
I'm leaning out.
You're looking good. He's getting good.
Right, we've got the room list through. Tell me who's in a room with.
In a room you're in with. Who was that again?
John Carver.
Oh, my great crap.
Who would you, if you could, Stephen, if you could pick, who would you room with?
Anyone?
Scottish players, fuck me.
Aye, but players or staff?
Players.
I'd rather room with the chef. Johnny, incredible.
Is he good?
Best scrambled eggs. Honestly, I came down one supper and KT was getting this scrambled egg batch made. I was like, that looks a bit of me. Put it on.
Sorry, yeah.
Incredible.
So he travels everywhere with us?
He travels everywhere, yep.
That's the real perks of going with Scotland and stuff like that.
The chef. Unbelievable.
That is, it's top. Did you not get something when you came in Mar Hall?
Wait, hear this one, right? We'll wait in Mar Hall, came up, meeting the big boys, Robbo, Tierney, all the big lads. He walks there and walks away. When I'm sitting there, I was intimidated.
Right.
Because he had a big group. It was like, he was a top dog. He was hosting the show.
In the middle, sitting in the middle.
And I was out of my comfort zone. I at that stage, was teetering on the brink. Big names in that.
He's saying, shout him over now.
No big enough.
Either he was like, I don't even know who you are. He's like, But see, so you done?
Are you?
Oh, yeah, Thistle High. I remember playing me a wee bit. See, you done, that's what you done to me.
I'm trying to talk. See when, see with Scotland, was it? Do you miss Charlie Snoddy just before we go into the Euros? Do you miss the guys?
Yeah, no. I used to like, get a coffee every pre-match. That's after I'd go down pre-match ready, hair done, looking the part, playing the part, questionable, but looking the part certainly. And then Snoddy, Charlie, and Johnny Russell, a couple of others would come down, just kind of waiting in the time, have a wee coffee. And some of the chats, the conversations were about football and not about football were brilliant. And some I'll never forget. The way Snoddy as well, for somebody that has achieved what he's achieved in football, the way he spoke to me and seemed to understand me. I know that sounds kind of dark. It's a bit deep for this show.
He's quite deep, Snoddy, isn't he?
But he was, honestly, I'd played with a lot of people and struggled at times with personalities, with characters. And Snoddy, albeit when we played together, we had a couple of wee kind of, as you do, he was playing in front of me a couple of games and you're kind of moaning as you do. But
why? Because you done the decoy run and never did the ball. Just cuts in on the left foot, didn't
you? I didn't mind it. It was if he lost it and then I didn't run back. I'm happy to the decoy run.
He's been doing that since he's 13, mate, honestly.
But he honestly was the kind of the whole squad every time we've been in it has been great for me and kind of great characters everywhere. But Snoddy, certainly the way he spoke to me is exceptional.
See, just that one, but is the banter now gone out there away?
The banter's gone. You interview with Mark Hall. We needed you back.
Could you get me into the Euros?
I'll make a few calls.
Some man.
What about like pranks and that with Snoddy and Charlie? Would that happen to me with Scotland?
There wasn't, not that I can recall. I think it can maybe get rained in a wee bit the last few years because I think there have been a couple of kind of incidents with the press and stuff that before my time that maybe got a bit of attention and so it's a bit stricter.
By the book,
which is understandable. You're going away, you're representing your country and if people, like if you get the bad result, people want to jump on anything. The press are the worst for it, try to jump on any slight thing. But I think in the squad, the Ollie McBurney, Jacko and Kenny McLean, they'll be big misses because their personalities.
Yeah.
Obviously, the three boys that have been called up were all exceptionally talented players, but they've been in the squad. They kind of, I think, with Kenny and Ollie done my room the last bloody trip.
Well, how did they do it?
What did they not do? Toothpaste in my shoes. I only had one bloody pair of trainers as well. I was devastated.
Did you get a bit of
No, I've got no clout. Come on, cut me some. I thought it was Jacko.
Did you?
That was a mistake I might have regretted. Is he got that a bit aggressive and he'd have leathered me.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I quickly backtracked and said sorry.
So who do you room with when you're away?
It's COVID last couple of trips, been on your own.
On your own.
So I've been rooming with myself. It's been the best company I've had since I've been away.
Trousers at the ankles all night, innit?
Not quite.
Oh. But going to the Euros, mate.
Aye, how exciting.
Trousers at your ankles or what? Just going to the Euros.
Going to the Euros is amazing, too, isn't
it? I know, look, it's it'll be an amazing sort of amazing achievement. I can't wait. It's just the whole kind of build up to it and everything the last couple of weeks. Not knowing the squad, but everybody's wanting to know about it. I've never been in a setup like this in my career, like where everybody, the first question everybody's asking is, "Oh, you looking forward to the Euros?" And I'm like, "I don't know if I'm going yet." Like, and you don't know until the squad comes out, until you get that text, and it's you don't know for definite. And obviously, just to get that text and to be on the flight to Spain will be incredible.
So, did you ever see when we were talking about this earlier when you dropped down to like first event? Did you ever dream of playing with Scotland?
I don't think I ever dreamed of playing for Scotland.
Did you know?
Because I didn't think that was like a next thing. That was the dream was to be a footballer. The dream was to play for the team you supported. And then after that, when you would achieve that, you would then hopefully go on and achieve things with your national team. But just never really came across my mind until realistically I had a chance of getting in it. It was that first squad in Mexico and Peru and started to sink in. And I've said that a number of times, that the first trip over in Peru and Mexico, I've said I was the most passionate about my country. I'm proud to be from Scotland, I'm proud to be Scottish, but I didn't think I would be emotional about it. In the Mexico and Peru game, the national anthem was certainly something that I'll never forget, and how the emotions just kind of flooded to me. I was standing next to this wee Peruvian, I think Peruvian, is that, would that
yeah,
be
right? That's right.
Peruvian mascot singing, and she was belting out the national anthem, and it just kind of resonated. I was like, she's so proud of being Peruvian. It started to kind of hit home what I'd managed to achieve.
See, in the, just before we move on to the duty free, can you get his dad a sleeve of fags and a Toblerone?
Facebook. I don't know if COVID's letting you kind of wander through, but if I can,
because he loves it. As many as you can, mate, because he's done putting the money.
Cigarettes, cigars?
Cigars as well. I like smoking a cigar. So I just want to see this, I just want to touch on this, right? And see, when you did get setbacks when you were younger, how new, when you're, it's maybe similar to the last question, but how new when you're sitting there, would you say to a younger player that, I didn't let these setbacks get to me? Do you know what I mean? Because you did, what was it, Aberdeen?
Yeah, well, I left Aberdeen, a year left in my contract, and I left Aberdeen, and it was a mixture between they didn't want me and I didn't want to be there. Just yeah. Kind of been one of those seasons, they happen, we've all had them. And at the end of it, I was actually told to go back to school. Say, look, you're a clever boy, football's not for you.
Wow. Who said that to you? Can you remember who said that to you?
I can't remember now, to be fair, but...
You can't be, didn't want to say, right?
But, yeah. and that's... And again, it was... The comment itself isn't a bad... It's a comment that, like, I was 7-1s and a 2 in my standard grade, so I was smart enough.
Wow.
But it was more that there was people present that just those sorts of comments shouldn't have been made in front of. But it happens, and it kind of just helps whenever, maybe a couple of months later, I signed for Celtic, and it maybe... Not smug, but it was kind of... Well, people do believe in me and people do think I'm good enough to do something, and it was just kind of constantly you have that in your career. Again, every footballer won't be where they are without being told somewhere they're not good enough, and I continue to get that, but I continue to work hard, stick to the basics, which is try my best. I don't think any manager that's ever released me and said it's for attitude. I've gave nothing but 100%, and thankfully it's managed to get me to the Euros and hopefully much more.
Stick two fingers up to the guy that going.
Nah, like these things happen in football. It's like I was told that when I was in with you at Thistle, I was in trial. I was kind of on trial at Thistle by the part time club. I was on trial there as well, and Jackie had said to me, he's like, look, I'm just trying to get the money sorted to offer you something. Now I don't know for definite if that was just delay tactics to keep you in coming training, but I think he was genuine with it. And basically, I played a game and got a phone call. The part-time manager phoned Jackie and said, don't touch him, he's not good enough.
Wow.
Whilst I was in trial for Jackie. So, Matt, going out your way, and that was a trial. That was somebody I've known for 2 weeks. And I think that's just a wee insight that football is a cutthroat business. It still is. And as I said, all I can do is my best, and hopefully I can do that.
Well, you've done it very well, because now the people said that must be sitting there, Simon, regretting what they've said, aren't they? Sitting in the Euros. But you loved 98 World Cup, didn't you?
98 was brilliant, wasn't it? Last time.
Scotland did you make the squad?
She probably should have, shouldn't I? I think I was only 10, but I'd probably been good enough then. No. Well, who was your heroes growing up? Have you got Scotland heroes?
I'd have probably said Jackie. He played for Celtic.
What a player, Jackie McNamara, very underrated.
And I probably didn't appreciate him as much as you should, like you should have. But he'd probably be the one. But I want to be a centre mid. And the kind of centre mids, Ferguson was a joke, but I wasn't allowed to think he was good. So yeah. But and then you'd Paul Lambert. So there was loads of talented players.
What age were you in the 98 World Cup?
6. Can't really remember any of them.
Can you know?
No.
Not at all?
Nothing.
You remember it, Slaney?
I can remember. I remember we talked, we always got the McDonald's game for the Brazil game. You who'd have thought, Simon, that we had John Collins now and then we've got Stephen O'Donnell to the next tournament? It's unbelievable.
I thought you were going to say Jackie, Stephen. I couldn't moan at that either. So look, it's...
See, since we've qualified though, does the dynamic change? Like, did you think after that I need to be on it every week for Motherwell to get in the squad? Was there a feeling I've done enough now to get in the squad?
Look,
be honest, Stephen. That's why you're here. Just be honest.
Nah, look, I think from playing, I'd hoped the odds were starting to go in my favour. The fact that I'd played the previous trip, we were World Cup qualifiers, and I played. And I thought I'd done okay in the games. That was the kind of, for me, hope. Not cementing myself in the team, but giving me a right good chance. And the fact that I went, sure, I was hoping that I couldn't go from starting to being out of the squad altogether.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I've managed not to do that. I've been consistent from a low, but I've not maybe performed, and I don't think as a squad we have, how I think we can. We've got a lot of good players, and I think we could have done much better this season.
If you do have a bad game for Motherwell, do you think, fuck, I hope...
Oh, well, you know you're on the chopping block, because you know the press and everybody's, look at the two Motherwell players in the Scotland squad. You know that's where everybody draws their eyes to, that they're not good enough. And that's what we've, again, Scotland are underdogs. Maybe myself and Declan are underdogs to a degree in the squad as well. And it's been the case. I was at Kilmarnock before. It's not as if I've came from a Celtic or a Rangers or down south. So, look, I'll just, as I said, I just keep trying my best and hoping the manager and the staff appreciate and think I'm doing a good enough job.
So, as soon as you got called, your debut, you got called up, it was the Peru, Mexico. Had you any indication that you were going there, or were you ready to plan your summer holidays?
The Scuddy squad, wasn't it? That was the Scuddy squad. That
you actually called it that, didn't you?
Did that help? There was I had an inclination. There was talk of a fitness for duty. I hadn't known much about it, and that came out for me. But I just think it was Steve Clark, one of the best comments he said to me. He was at Kelly at the time, and he said that's one way to play yourself at the Scotland squad. It was the last game of the season against Hearts.
How did you ever shock it?
No, I didn't think I did. I swear I watched it. I watched it back with 19. I thought I was okay. But I think Peter Grant was there in the stand. But I didn't get in the original squad. But it was Ryan Fraser. Ryan Fraser pulled out with an injury. And again, like I was hardly out. Ryan Fraser's top quality player. And I got called in for him. So I'd never expected for a minute that I'd have went from not being in the original squad to playing both games, because I started them both. I couldn't believe it.
Where were you when you got the call to tell you were going?
I was sitting having a coffee with...
Likes a coffee, didn't he, this boy?
I do. Oh, I love a wee coffee, sit down. Occasionally, I dabble with cakes occasionally.
Right, okay.
Flying my body fat's 10.
Who were you being? Lift the jersey,
not in these seats, because the position's terrible. Not a chance.
Show them good how you're under it. I want a chance.
Nah.
We'll get it out soon.
Right, okay.
So who were you in the house?
So I was normally with Michelle Evans at Starbucks in Hamlin.
Right. So for the PFA, Michelle?
Yeah.
So she was the first one to hear the news that you've been
called? She was the first one that phone call came, an unknown number. I was like, fuck. And she, it was 0141, and she knew, God knows how she knew, but that's Hampden. And I went, shut up, you're taking the piss. I answered it for Frank. I don't know if Frank's a...
You know Frank?
Kind of player liaison, and Frank, right, yeah. And that was my first encounter, and he's like, hi, Stephen, blah, blah. In the squad, I couldn't believe it. Obviously, I then rushed home. I left Michelle and rushed home and told my mum. I was waiting in my house getting built. So I was in a stay at
council house.
Well, I came back for Luton and moved in with my mum and dad, married for 9 months. Aye. So I got a Scotland call up, loving my mum and dad, 25, married with my wife. That was.
How did your missus take the news? Was she buzzing?
She was delighted, because she also then realised that she couldn't get a holiday because I was going away. She was delighted. I think my dad and my mum, again, there'd been lots of ups and downs. That first season at Kilmarnock, it didn't start too great. I hadn't been playing well, and it was just an amazing turnaround. My mum actually told me to join the police, ironically. So that was
at
the start of a 3-year deal. Would you believe that?
Yeah, what? Sorry,
sir. My mum told me to join the police.
No way.
State school and.
Look, I told you, Slaney, there'll be no managers told me something that I've not been told at home, so don't worry about it.
What stage was this your mum told you to join the police?
About 3 weeks in a 3-year deal.
At where, sorry?
At Kelly.
At Kelly?
Yeah.
And why?
I'd came back, I'd lost about 6-7 kilo on my honeymoon, and came back pre-season.
That must have been some honeymoon if you lost that amount of weight. I
was bloody sick. I'd get bloody bally belly, it was, and I was miles off it. Came back pre-season. I was running with Boydie. Like I was...
That's what you want to run with, wasn't it?
And Slaney will tell you, running's my game. That's a pride, mate.
You were a machine, weren't you, running?
It was my game. It still is to a degree. Maybe not at 29, but no, I was... when you lose, you're probably your biggest attribute, getting up and down and being a decoy, or at times getting it and throwing something in. But it's... I was miles off it.
Were you ever close to actually doing it then? Were your mum saying it? No, never.
It's just when you're in, you're loving when you're under the same roof, you get heated and start having some arguments now and again. It's only natural.
Because people didn't see this side to it. Everyone probably thinks it's like easy.
We were saying that earlier, weren't we?
Nah, but it's just the side of every job, every family has fights and stresses. And
how long ago was that, mate?
4 years ago now.
I'm saying 4 years ago. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Is that why you've got the handcuffs in your motor?
Just don't speak to my mum again, believe it or not.
But the first trip, wasn't it just to my whole pole?
Like South America.
South America.
Was it a lot of new players there? Or was there any of your main culprits there?
Charlie was there. There was a few. Johnny Russell was over as well at that point. And I knew Charlie a wee bit because he was at Celtic, yeah. One of the first team when I was there. And then he was at Aberdeen with us as well. So I knew right away he wasn't a nice guy. I didn't want to talk to him. So, but nah, so like I knew a couple. Knew Kenny McLean was there. I'd played with him at Aberdeen. Well, kind of whole host, and you play it, you know, it's, you play in the same team or play against them, and you end up knowing them all kind of as if you're mates, but you've never really known.
Do you get left on your own though for your first trip? Is there times where you're like, come on, somebody please speak to us?
Nah, it was, well, the first thing Faddy said to the squad was, you got a word in yet with him? So,
all right,
I was broken easily, I was thrown right in the deep end.
Was there any sort of any pranks on that plane getting earlier with Charlie or anything? Can you remember it earlier?
I was separated. I was in a different flight.
What?
There was two flights. So there was a London squad and a Austin. Was it Austin or Houston?
Houston.
An American squad. So we had to go and
was anybody?
So I was London at Houston, I think, and then to Peru.
So half the squad
went from London to Peru. So we assumed, the rumour was, you know, it's like you start chatting and talking nonsense, and boys were sure that the ones that went straight to London were all starting.
Right.
But it didn't. Well, me and Scott McKenna were on that flight and both started. Can you believe it?
Was it business class?
Aye, Scott.
Oh,
first experience.
See, when you get a wee, as stupid as it sounds, see, when you get a wee taste of that, you're thinking, I want better.
It was just everything about it. It was like me. It was met with a knife and fork. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I could take over this plane with this. You know, when you go in like the normal seats in the economy, you've wee plastic ones, and up. Anytime I try and cut the chicken, this thing snaps. Or they bite the fork off. So I couldn't believe it. It was brilliant. Wee daft things. It was like steak you were getting cooked. It was cooked really nice. Oh. Some of the best meals I've had on that flight.
Was it? Did you get away?
Nah. Of course, there was a.
You're not drinking it, you know, mate.
Definitely not. I had a few after Serbia, but I didn't drink. I don't normally drink now.
But then, Simon, what I was thinking was, you go early for the first time, right? I don't think you're expecting to start, aren't you?
No.
Without a doubt, you're not expecting to start. I
couldn't. Did you do well in training or something?
Both of them, didn't you? So did you?
Well, I was flabbergasted. The best it was, so I was over the moon at playing the first. Because you're training, you're ready to play. And you're starting to prove.
When did he tell you were starting? Just when he named the team an hour before the game?
Named the team, aye. We didn't know. Not an hour, it was in the hotel before it, we had a meeting and named the team. So, and then I'm going, bricking it. I don't think I'd turned on because I'm tight, I'm a miserable bugger. So I don't turn on my data roaming. So I don't think I told them. I think I maybe on the hotel Wi-Fi, I think I'd sent out a couple of messages and that was it. But now, I couldn't believe it. I say the highs and lows. So you play the game and you think, right, again, talk amongst boys is saying like everybody's going to start a game. It's going to be a full kind of squad change up. So we're flying to Mexico and it's on like an EasyJet flight. So I went to flying business and it's like an EasyJet flight, but just us. So it was a chartered EasyJet flight kind of thing. So we had three seats. But have you ever tried to sleep in three seats in a normal flight? You can't do it. Seatbelts going all over the gaff. So literally we'd played the game against Peru, flew the next day. I'm miles off. I wasn't steaming, but I was knackered because they had played the game, the emotions in it. And I get to Mexico, could walk up to the stadium. So a mile big walk up, could hardly breathe. It was ridiculous altitude. So I'm like, thank God I'm not playing tomorrow, me and a couple of boys.
Oh, no.
After that flight and after this in the conditions.
And you just played the game as well?
And we'd played the game. Team gets named, I'm starting again. And I needed an oxygen tank when he told me. I couldn't believe it. And it was, I've never felt so bad in a warm-up. It was the worst condition. Like, you wouldn't believe it. You genuinely couldn't breathe.
And how did you play?
I tried my best. I don't know. No, for me, I don't really know. I must have done all right because I was in the next squad. But no, it was crazy. It was, I think, with Lozano was up against us. All these guys, Vela was playing. It was crazy. Marquez was about fucking 90.
But still could spread a bit.
Still a joke.
What a player.
See, mate, so when you all met up, right, is there any stories that you could do with Big Charlie in the dressing rooms and in the hotels and stuff? Was he up to it?
No, there wasn't too much. As I said, it was the Scotland squad's kind of a bit lower key. You kind of come away.
He's something coming.
Nah, there isn't. There honestly isn't much. The
Big Eck, what was he like? Was he tight, weren't you?
Pick me my first my squad, gave me my caps. I can't get, not a bad word to say. Loved it. Loved playing for my country. And he was a manager that gave me that opportunity.
See, although it was, as we say, the Scuddy squad. Joking, obviously. But was the standard in training still a lot higher than your club?
It was very good. The players were all playing at a good level.
Who stood out your first trip straight away? Wow.
At the start, I would have, Scott McTominay was the one that...
Was
like,
he good at
I him? Thought he was like Pogba. Realise he's hopeless, but
is he talking the unreal?
And the way moves his legs and that. Like,
he's a machine, isn't he? He's specimen.
Some Nick. Terrible haircut. I give him a stick for that all the time, but he's a. But now he was the one that kind of stood out. He was like, I think he was 12 at the time. And he was just the way he put his body in the way, you couldn't really get the ball off him.
Who are you close with in the Scotland team? McKenna, you like him, didn't you?
I've roomed with Scotty before. I'm a social butterfly. I kind of got on with most of the boys, but I talk to them. I don't know if they like me, but I talk to them anyway. But no, Scotty would be the standout kind of for social interaction.
And then, mate, your dad gets the job. So when did you know Steve Clarke was getting the Scotland job? Did he tell you Killy boys before it came out in the press?
No, really. He kind of told us.
When he's tucking you in at bed tonight.
Aye, he was like, right, good night. Say my prayers. I was like, I'm not going to see them or a son. he didn't really. The rumours had been building and you started to get the gist that he was going.
Do you know he came in a kilt one day, Killy?
He came in singing the national anthem. But nah, he got the job, and I know it was the last game of the season. He kind of said cheerio, and then that was it. And he moved away to Scotland.
You see, when you were at Killy, did you know he was that good that he would go into Scotland or a bigger job?
I didn't know if he'd go to Scotland. I know he'd been offered very, very big jobs in Scotland before, and then when he took the Scotland job, I was obviously delighted. The minute I got to work with him. Gutted, I thought I might have piggybacked on him down to the championship or something, but that didn't happen. But no, so when he
got. You'd rather get in the Scotland squad than go down to the championship, don't
I? I know, of course, but I was in the Scottish squad. But whenever he got the job, it was the first I was like, oh, you're definitely going to be in that squad then, like Steve Clarke's squad. But it was still the same. You're on the chopping block, every squad, every player's on the chopping block, and it's kind of just. Like every season in football, it's ruthless.
This man's obsessed with coaching. What does he do? Do you want to ask the question here?
I mean, we were talking before it. He's not a shouter,
right?
Steve Clarke doesn't single people out, didn't he? No one really go for him. But is he a proper on the field proper coaching?
I think he's adapted a wee bit with how he was at Kilmarnock to Scotland. At Scotland, you wouldn't really get much training sessions done because. Your boys would be playing on the Monday, so literally before some games, you'd had one session with the full squad. Like it's crazy, like because boys on recovery, boys managing.
Oh, match day minus two and all that.
All the modern stuff.
Yeah.
And so literally, Steve Clarke would have one session if he's lucky, with the full squad, but has a game the next day.
Yeah, it's tough.
So what can you do before a game? Like before a game, so he's adapted that, but certainly hands on likes to. I'd imagine he is the say on everything kind of coaching wise and what we do in the sessions and when he's talking he just talks to you. Honestly he kind of he gives you his thoughts on the game like any manager. You like it or lump it, but he doesn't go overboard with slaughtering you, but you also know like the
he's got an aura about him.
You just know when you've let him down. That's how I found it. I always found when he was at Kilmarnock in Scotland that I knew he was expected from me. It wasn't step overs by any stretch of the imagination, and if I'd done that, he was happy, and if I didn't, then he would let you know.
What was the main thing he'd done at Killy? Thought to change how yous were.
Great question, Simon.
that's a hard question. He just got us all leaks. He kind of got a team settled. We'd been kind of chopping and changing because boys hadn't been at it. Myself being one of them. As I said, I have a slight excuse losing 8 kilos or whatever it was, but he came in and he kind of. Found a kind of solid base, and everything in training Monday, Friday was based on how we were going to play. We were going to be organised, hard to break down. You had quality players. You had like Chris Boyd up top to win your game. So you knew if you stayed in the game, you got one chance. It was gone. So it was a fortunate position to be in. And he just made the rest of us very workmanlike and found a system that worked. We played the first season he came in. We played with a JJ lightning pace and the counter. Great player off the left, but kind of a wee bit higher, and then he played with a narrow three. So I had the kind of right side to myself, and then with the two up top with Boydie, and the other one with Ferry. But then the following season, we then went with Burkey. So he was adaptable. We then put Burkey, came back, incredible condition, and played off the right. So then it changed the dynamic, not only myself, but as a team.
Yeah.
It was then two, we played two in the middle, and then we had Brophy and Greg Stewart up front. So he just was very good at picking players and finding what suited them best, and and that's what he done.
I think so, but see, with Steve Clark, my always thing when he went to Scotland, the one thing I wasn't sure about was because he is every day on the training pitch, and then with Scotland, as you said, you don't do a lot of sessions.
Yeah. That was one of the reasons I didn't think he'd wanted the Scotland job, because I'd have thought he'd have wanted to be hands-on, like he loves it, as most managers need to. They have a real passion for football, and I thought he'd have wanted to stay with that, but obviously his wife's dictated to him, he needs to slow down, so he's go for the part-time job as such.
What about Boydie? How was he? Any big-time shouts?
I look at it. A couple of big-time shouts now and again, but it was some good crack. Him and Dom Thomas, you know Dom?
Dom's brilliant. Big Celtic and Rangers between the two.
So the two of them were at it all the time in the dressing room. Was good crack. It was good listening to some of their stories. I'm not the best in that environment, so I don't stay quiet because I'm loud. I'm a loudmouth, but I'm a different type of loudmouth.
Right, did he ever cash you off, Boydie?
Don't think he ever cashed me off, but I think he'd have been more than capable of cashing me off if he wanted to.
But Simon, what we're all here for, the Serbia game, innit?
That's the one, mate.
So I mean, a lot of fans want to hear the build-up before the game. What was it like in training? Almost the smell, Simon, the feel of the place, didn't we?
Yeah,
we want to find out everything, mate. If you just want to elaborate.
You walk down, you just smell the testosterone the minute you'd walk into training. Boys are on it, come on.
Were the boys on it just to try and get in that
team?
No,
look at that. Nah, I think it was the same as, you need to treat all these games similar. Like it's another game, you prepare the same way. And everybody, the training at Scotland, to be fair, is a joke most of the time anyway. So, as in, tough.
Right.
So you were kind of, it was just on it again. They're sharp. Some of these players, the way they move the ball, like Ryan Fraser, Christy, Armstrong, the way they shift it. It's night and day to just kind of what you, it's just a top level footballers. And it was like that again. The build up, brilliant. I started to get nervous whenever it was the day before the game. You had a bit more of an idea if you'd be playing. You didn't know for definite, but you had a bit more of an idea. We kind of just some shape and stuff in that.
Does he name his team the day of the game or is it the night before?
It's the day of the game.
Day of the game. But in training that, you'll have a wee idea where they set up.
You can maybe see he might have changed a couple of people.
Yeah.
And it's, you can never really guarantee because it's, you don't know with football, it can change quickly. And that night, I thought I was probably going to be playing. Started to get a wee bit nervous and for some reason, in the middle of the night, I'd take it up and take anti-inflammes. Because I thought I'd tore my hammy. Hammy was gouting.
Why is that?
Don't have a clue.
Maybe just nerves. Mental
breakdown.
Yeah.
Honestly, woke up 3 o'clock, panicking. It's like, oh no. Went in Scotty McKenna's room the next day saying, Scotty, something's up with my hammy. Honestly, panicking.
Went that's because you've got the tweezers at the ankles all the time.
But thankfully managed to get through the game. But what I would like to say is I had possibly the worst warm-up I've ever had.
Even worse than Mexico?
Even worse than Mexico. No, performance wise, I was okay in Mexico in the warm up.
With the Serbia again?
I couldn't move in Mexico because I was knackered. It was the breathing and everybody was in the same boat. Serbia, I think, had 0% pass completion.
And
the pitch was, I don't know if you remember, the pitch was very slippy. I don't know if you can remember the game, but we were kind of slipping out. The pitch was terrible. The rain was belting down. And I think I passed about 3 out of the box. I was like that.
See, in Scotland, the boys got on you.
A couple of boys.
Scotty and Tommy chipped up. Like Tommy, did he?
Andy wasn't in my box. I don't think we're Mali passing to. I think it was. Gave something like, oh, it's only the warm up or something like that.
McTominay gave me that.
I didn't feel that nervous at that point, but I was always just a slight difference. But thankfully, I got my pass completion up to about 10% in the game.
Would that affect you? See, your bad warm up, Sonny, would that affect you?
I think it would, mate, aye.
Does it?
I think so. So were you actually nerve? Was it due to nerves when you were getting the ball?
I don't know. That's what they put it down to. It could have been the surface. I'm just blaming it. You know, it could be nerves. You don't know. Like, well, when you had a bad game, do you know why you had a bad game? Other than being hopeless.
But see, if I had a bad warm-up, like, I would never like that.
I'm the same because I've never been like a. I've never been the best trainer. Like, see all the small sides and that. Like, I'm 6'2.5", stiff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's maybe tight spaces. I don't operate my best in them. So,
but maybe that bad warm-up got your concentration levels up, right? I need to be honest.
No, exactly. Look, like, yeah. I think when you go back down for the kind of getting changed and that, you know the expectation and what's at stake. It kind of just you drone, you kind of zone out.
How was his team talk, Steve Clarke? Was it an inspirational one, or was it just stick to the standard?
No, it was a bit more than normal, a bit more inspiration. I think.
Can you give us any links?
He also emphasised like we've done well to get where we are, but like essentially finished the job, believed in us, which rightly so, the performance we put in, I think, rewarded his belief in the team, and we get a great result. And I think again, I think it was a game that didn't need too much motivation from the manager, because externally everybody knew it was at stake. It'd been a long, long time since we were at a tournament, and the words he, certainly to me, the words he said, like, certainly kind of resonated enough that I managed to perform decent enough.
See, when I side with that that game, what I was most surprised, but I thought Scotland was a chance they could go through, but I mean, you were battling at one point, but they couldn't get near you, couldn't they?
I wanted to ask that as well, because on your point there, did you expect him to play the way they did? Because I thought you should maybe sit off him, but when you seen that, they seemed to just want to play out for the back all the time, and you went and press him high. Did he change that on the pitch, or was that the game plan before the game?
Tell me what you said, the reason he played like that.
What was it?
I said, because they had me, that's what I said. Look, you know, you get the keyboard gangsters, I'm an off the camera gangster. The players. Again, the players that we had Christie and Dykesy off the front, the energy they show, you could get after them, you could get after teams. And what makes that easier is whenever the pitch wasn't great, as I'd said, and whenever a couple of mistakes creep into their game, which could have been because they weren't good enough or because the nerves had got to them, or it was the pitch, it gives you the confidence.
So you've kind of just seen that on the pitch, so you can go and get the ball back to them.
Yeah, and we get after it, every single one of us, the back three was getting up. And without really creating too many clear-cut chances, I thought we dominated the game. I thought we were right in the front foot for the start, and it was great.
Because Declan Gallagher, he was even getting tight to Mitrovic on the halfway line, wasn't he, and nicking the ball?
No, that was it. I think he basically done a job on Mitrovic, which gives you a great platform, because if he's winning, when they did go longer, he'd clip it in. If he's drop him off him because he's scared of him, then you're in trouble. But he was right up his backside, and winning everything. A few fouls against him, which I don't even think were fouls. Pretty sure he got booked early on.
Yeah.
Which I was a bit panicky about, because
he bullied him, didn't he?
But he did not. Dominated him from start to finish.
How was it, just on you here, how were you feeling when that equaliser went in? Was it horrible?
It was. You did sink a bit. And I think that maybe told in the extra time. I think we're all still, but not again.
Yeah.
I think that maybe did creep in. Personally, I was like just gutted, couldn't believe it, because it was such. They came into the last 10, 15 minutes, but it was, they came into it, they didn't
start. They weren't the bat with the chance.
Like, Marsh wasn't even needing to make ridiculous saves, which he would have, but he didn't need to. And then just the head off a set piece. The set pieces, it's one of the hardest things in football, is picking up for set pieces, especially now with the VAR and all that kind of stuff. And it was for the man to score, and it was just...
Were you on the pitch when the goal went in? Were you close to it?
I was in the box picking up.
Was it your man?
I'm not trying to deflect here, but it wasn't that long. And don't ask whose man was it, because I'm not telling you that.
See,
either.
When you're on the pitch, is it almost like slow motion when it hits in it?
Aye, when that one certainly was, because it's kind of scrambling with your mate, and you just know it, and you know the time as well. And they erupted, and they did a lot of fans. They had a number of fans behind the standby, behind the dugout. Not for, it must have been dignitaries, but there was a lot of them, and they were making a bit of noise, which was. I thought with the circumstances, maybe we didn't do that against Israel, put it that way.
Right.
At Hamden, we didn't do that in the Israel game, which I was surprised at, but I'm not going to go to Serbia and start square going to mama.
See, when the whistle went for the 90 minutes, seeing the team talk, what was Steve Clarke saying? Can't remember.
They've been great. Can't really remember.
Did they? I'm sure, did the camera not go and Andy well. Robertson was saying a few words as well? Is that wrong?
I can't remember that. I think I was breathing somewhere.
But did you see the boys? Because I think everybody thought watching the game, it's like, as you said, it's going to be another.
Yeah, I think as well. And then whenever the game kicks off for extra time, and it's kind of, we are under the caution.
Yeah.
I didn't think a game would get battered, but they had two or three half decent chances. Yeah. And you're going, bugger.
Because we'd made a lot of subs as well, I'm right.
We made a couple of changes before the end of the game, and it can affect it either way, but. When it goes to extra time, you're maybe a wee bit disjointed. But they also were going for it as well. See, at the end of the game, they'd started to kind of push forward. They'd changed shape. They weren't a five anymore. They weren't a 3-5-2. And they had bombed on. It was like a four at the back. So they were going 1v1 at times. But then you then do you go ultra defensive, which we've kind of done because we were hanging on, or we had the win, we had the win in our sights, and then it becomes.
You never really had the pace to hit them on the counter either, because McBurney and Patterson came and played up front.
No, it just became a different game, but that's what happens.
And then for me, the turning point in the game was when you were taking off and Griffiths came on.
Without a doubt. I'm getting a bad reputation for this, because that was the two games. In fairness, I probably could have stayed on the Serbia game. But I was a bit, I'd cramped three or four times at this point. And then it was like, I kind of mentioned to the gaffer, and then he started, look, obviously bring on the, I strike the ball better than Lee, but obviously thought, well, let him. He was obviously feeling confident. So he put on Griff. But it happened the previous game against Israel. And honestly, one of the worst feelings I've ever had. I was running back. Boys, I think it was Solomon. Put in behind,
he could play solo,
and they can shift as well. And I'm seeing it, and this was like 117 minutes or something. I'm hearing it, trying to hear it back, and everywhere cramped up, both calves and both hammies, right at the same time. So I've ran in the ball and went, I need offers, and I'm slugging the ball. I'm good. And Marsh, I think, was the only one that held it, and he said after the game I was pissing my pants because I could hardly even move after that. But the Serbia game, I get dragged for a better player.
See, with the penalties, mate, did you feel utterly sick before they started?
Oh, I was so nervous.
Was it, mate?
So nervous.
But why? Because see, when you see these players hit penalties, mate,
they look so calm.
It looks to me like...
They look so calm.
See, in training and that, are they that good? As good as that in games?
No, well, they're quality in training as well, but training's obviously got no pressure on it. So
but every time
false.
These boys hit penalty shows, mate, I can't believe how good they are at penalties, the Scotland boys.
I know. They've got on 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10, isn't it?
McLean scored a 2, didn't he?
McLean scored
2 winners.
McLean, aye.
So there must have been confidence in the boys that they
would. Look, I think after the Israel game, the boys must have had confidence going up, because the pressure in that was to get to the, like, we knew it was at stake, so aye, the pressure would have been ridiculous despite no fans in Israel, and then Serbia again. Maybe that if the Serbians had been in, I don't know, maybe 40,000 or whatever, maybe that would have made it a bit nervier, but... They handled it like champs and
crap. Who picks the penalties when the final whistle goes? Is it the manager? Does he say who wants it, or has he got names written out?
I can't quite remember. It kind of varies. I think he kind of... We've been hitting penalties in training, one a day. So every day you had to hit one penalty. That was it. One penalty. You missed it, scored it, in.
Right.
That was it.
You were straight in?
I just went, look, you'll not make 120 minutes, so in you go. But you could see the way that they strike the ball, get their routine, and I think he just kind of checked he had in his mind who he wanted and checked they were fine with it, and they were.
Even the order in that, though, always fascinates me. Does somebody ask to go fifth? Does somebody ask to go
Can
first?
You remember the order?
I can't remember the order, no.
The moment, though, Shodge, and I think the whole nation wanted to hear this, didn't they, Si? This is the most question asked was, what was your feeling when you seen Marshall save it? Were you raging with him for going out to the referee, wasn't it? Remember?
No, I think that makes it better.
When he stopped the high stop,
I think that makes it better, because it just shows you the modern how it's had to change. Like, and he's his face like itching, his big daft gloves in his hand. Oh, he was honestly.
So what do you think when he saved it, though? Just complete and utter joy.
I actually felt the freshest I'd felt in about 3 months playing.
Like, were you greeting?
My legs felt fresh. I could run again. Can you believe it? Just helped hammering it down. I was at the bottom of a pile-up. Ryan Christie grabbed us, and I fell over. And then all of a sudden, the full team was on top of me, and I couldn't breathe. So I cheers, boys.
Were you greeting
in common theme of me not being able to breathe the way we scored. It was, I think, when I went back up to the dressing rooms after we were in the pitch, and I made a couple of calls, and I'd phoned my dad and my wife, and I was kind of just like, these people have been... Kind of hear that my dad and mum especially, the full journey, like through all those highs and lows as a kid, and to have such a high that they weren't able to be part of because of COVID, it was certainly an emotional time for everyone involved.
Did when that Marsh saves that penalty, you know they're going to Euros, do you think of the bad times or?
Nah. You think of them in reflection at times, you go off. Yeah.
After a game, or maybe in the hotel room at night,
Maybe not that night. Maybe
did you pull your mum up when for the polls thing?
Nah, like she made it. Like, that's what happens. It was nothing. It's never anything more than kind of just an argument.
Is that the best feeling you've had on a pitch?
Without doubt.
And was it the best celebrations after it? In the changing room?
Without doubt.
Katie, was on the boombox, wasn't he?
Best performer on the boombox.
Was he?
Best performance of the night.
Was Clark in dancing? You know him having a dance off, no?
Do you think? Do you think?
You kept saying to put a slow song for you in the
marriage. That was one of the songs. What was the song Mum and Dad get married to?
Was it Wild, mate?
It was brilliant. It was incredible. Even just how it all fell into place with Andy and the in this baccarat, it was incredible. Because that's one of the creepiest videos I've ever seen in my life. That.
Did you play the video?
We didn't play the video, but we'd seen it. They'd always, you know what it's like, modern society? First, right away, somebody's called up, people are Googling, like, what's this guy all about? That song was popping up.
So was that not mentioned before it came on at the end of the game?
It'd been mentioned to him privately, I think, or like just in conversation, like, talk me through that video kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't think the song came out of nowhere, and it was incredible.
Who do you just, this is just in my own head, who do you have the most arguments with in Scotland?
Who do you have the most arguments with?
Because you're quite a vocal type of character, aren't you?
Probably, I don't know if I'd say arguments, but probably my centre-half, whoever I'm next to.
Is it, mate?
Scott McTominay a few times, Jack Henry last games. Ooh. Just who you're next
call
to.
You call you a space cadet, did you see that video?
He's not called me a space cadet yet. I'll need to throw that back at him if we're playing together, I'll throw that on. But nah, it's just naturally whenever I'm blaming him and he's blaming me, it happens in football, you kind of just need to get on with it. Snoddy, I had a few with Snoddy, we played Belgium.
So is that,
we had a few with Snoddy.
Wait, let's say the Belgium one, I want to hear.
Aye, so with Snoddy, you're saying half the pitch is a great guy, but on the pitch for Belgium, were you going for it?
No, we're not going for it, just that heated sort of, you're, get back, I'll show him left. He wanted to keep jumping over Tolland, which was meaning I was jumping to Hazard, which was meaning, no, I was jumping to Mertens, which then meant Charlie was having to jump to Hazard. It was a
some names getting.
I know, that was a horror. And I'm sitting here in the middle going, "Whoa, I'll just stay back here."
So would you say, so as you got the better Snoddy then, definitely,
without doubt, got Snoddy and Toast.
Nah, I love it.
Nah, not
see,
even close.
No, you did. You get.
But see the hotel. So we sitting eating food, and then was it the David Marshall song came on? That just did somebody stick that on? You all started doing the conga.
Just KT would have been just. It was the conga came about because Pam's told me to. He says, I added a couple of drinks and then I gave any peer pressure. There was some shots brought out by a waiter or waitress. And boys are like, do you take one? Take one. I was like, I don't take shots. I don't drink. I'm like, nah, take one. I was like, fuck it. If there's ever going to be a night you're going to do it,
yeah.
It's going to be when you've just qualified for the Euros. So I went, I've got, and the boys obviously went, oh, I've done it. They just got brave pills. I went, oh, done three in the bounce. They're all going mad.
Steaming?
Somebody, no naming names, but a family member, looked over at me and went,
no more.
Oh, dad,
I then drank. I then drank 4 gallons of water the rest of the night.
Must be a brother.
I was peeing all night. The most hydrated I've ever been.
With
in my
three
career.
Shots?
No, because I had a couple of Jack Daniels before it. Then I had the 4 shots. Don't underplay this.
Right.
Incredible performance. The 4 shots, and then I get the. But I was already going a wee bit tipsy, and I get the. Which sobered me up straight away, and I went,
believe you gave
"Oh
you
no, there's a game in 2 days. I better start drinking water." So I had about four gallons of water. I drank the rest of the night. I just sat with a bottle of water, constantly getting refilled and drowning it because I was like, "I need to. I've got a game in a couple of days."
Yeah. Can you remember any stories? For any other players doing it in brilliant? Or do you know what to say?
Nah, there was nothing too mad because again, COVID meant it was limited.
What
to
did you say about Steve Clark when he spun on his seat or something? Is that right?
Oh, he's doing naked press.
Would you had a couple of drinks to gaffer? The boys?
I didn't notice, I'll be honest. The boy, we'd kind of created a big table with the boys and the kind of staff were all kind of put kind of tables on the outside. And I couldn't tell you if he did. I certainly say he would have deserved one if he wanted a couple. But we were fully focused on ourselves, I think, that night.
See, when you and Big Dicky Gallagher go back to Millwall, mate, right? Do you just look at the rest of the team like a piece of shit?
Well, you ever seen McGregor's walk?
Is that how you walked in?
That's how Decky walked in without a doubt.
Did you?
I curled in the back because I was having a stinker at the time. So
no chance.
I was making sure.
So
I was
what was the reception like, mate, when you went back to Motherwell?
Oh, I was just delighted. I think pleased. It was like, I think got enough accolades. Everywhere. The press were all delighted. And I think the players were just pleased. It wasn't quite as good as Derby's welcoming to Marsh, did you see that?
How about was that again?
They were going off their head. Yeah. There was big banners and all that.
Oh, they mate?
I think that was Shins. Graham Shinney was the one that organised that. But now it was good. They were all delighted congratulating you, but I think we had a game a day later, so you were kind of, I think we get back on the Thursday night, and we had a game on the Friday, a game on the Saturday, so.
Surely you're in for one day.
Oh, I said I'm not playing a game.
3 years.
Half the fans will tell you, I didn't play a game for one.
See, with that, I know we spoke about the setbacks, don't want to keep going on about it, but you mentioned trials and that, but you're also released for Celtic as well.
Yeah.
What other setbacks then? So released for Aberdeen. So this is just for young people who do watch.
I would probably say Aberdeen wasn't quite released. I would say Aberdeen.
Well, we'll say released.
We'll say released.
It's a better,
I didn't get paid up, so I couldn't have been released.
Right.
Celtic got released the 2 years there.
You remember the day you got released for Celtic?
Aye.
But who told you?
It was Chris McCart.
And what was the reason? Not good enough.
Defensively wasn't good enough. I think it's hard at Celtic 19s. You don't get tested at all. Like, you're battering teams. We won the league. We won the cup. And that's just what happened. I didn't really have a leg to stand on because I couldn't prove them or disprove them. It's that's what happens. And said and was kind of in tears.
Were you in tears? So because you obviously grew up with Celtic.
There was a few of us. I think it's again. When I signed for Celtic, I knew that it might only be for a couple of years. That's why I signed. I wanted to not lose the opportunity, albeit 19s, but to get to play. I'd knocked Celtic back a couple of times as a kid, kind of 11, 12. And I just thought, I don't want to regret never going, and I don't. And I went 2 great years, got the best of coaching, got the best of equipment. The kit still to this day is the best kit I've ever had. Yeah. You get 4,000 big boxes of stuff. It was incredible. And I loved every minute of my 2 years.
But mate, did you know you were out for a year with your heart condition problem, didn't you, mate?
That's the only bit I didn't like, because I didn't get to play the pool. That was my disappointment.
But what was that? Was that really worrying for you at the time?
Well, not really, because it was never life threatening, but it was more just a wee bit career threatening. I guess a bit too dull for
this. No, it's good. We like you this time.
But the actual problem itself. When I got it fixed, I was back in a week.
Right.
But in that 9 months that I was up, cleaning your boots.
Yeah, my knackers and all.
Washing your skid marks. He's the first ever player I've had to wash skid marks before training. Like, getting nervous for training. Like, I know about understanding.
Yeah, no, I
understand getting nervous for games, but come on.
I've let him out for the day.
But I was up for the night. It was about 9 months, and they'd been doing different tests trying to find out it was wrong. And went in. Again, and this is just my mum and dad paint my mum in a bad light, maybe with that comment earlier. But they were there the full time, and
she's a loving mother.
I went in to meet the doctor, and he's pulled myself, my mum, and my dad, and he said, "Look, what it is X, Y, and Z. You can't play again. You're going to need to retire." So I was 17, just 18, and it was horrendous. He says, "Look, we're going to run some more tests, but no, what we think it is, it's bad news." So I remember my mum was quite calm. She was trying to be the sensible one, but my dad, he was close to going. It was my dream and his dream to be a footballer. So kind of getting away in these circumstances was something like would just be never. I was a fit boy. I could always run. It was kind of came from nowhere, and then. Literally an hour later, the results came back for the test I'd done, and they said, "Look, I'm sorry what I said, but it's your heart's changed dramatically. Whatever's changed in this scan, and we can fix it. And when we fix it, you'll be back in a week."
He is the worst doctor ever.
Honestly, I couldn't.
Why not waiting for the hour? Honestly, I tell you, I'm not playing.
Honestly,
again.
And that is probably the most emotional day in my professional career, without above the Serbia, above the Peru, Mexico, because. Literally flashing before my eyes, and to change so quickly was even worse to a degree, like, because you were still in bits from the previous conversation to then be told you've got a chance. I was like, no, this isn't real. But
see, after that, did you think, I'm going to do everything I can now to make sure I have a career?
Look, that instilled in me a long time ago. My dad, working class background, my dad grafted, my grandpa's grafted, and I wasn't going to do anything less than graft. And that just cemented it even more. And thankfully, I managed to graft when I got released for Celtic to Thistle and worked hard. Jackie gave me an opportunity, and I'm still grafting a career yet.
I'm glad you said that, because see, the Partick Thistle one, we hear this, right? I go in and loan.
Is this going to be that I was the best technical player ever to grace Thistle? No,
no thanks. We're going to Thistle, right? I went in about 8:30 or 9. He's up the steps, running up the steps, a Fir Hill. Up Fir Hill, up all the steps down.
Chasing the ball that he kicked
during
the
ball to get them out of back.
Looking for the boys I'd lost the previous day.
We were talking about young players nowadays, and we were saying, everybody sees now he's got the Euros and stuff. But then, way back then, mate, I left Celtic so easily just to throw in the towel. I mate, I've seen him going up down these stairs. So, I mean, what were you actually doing there? But
okay, again, you kind of look for that kind of golden bullet, things that can help give you that extra inch or extra yard.
He's still looking for someone that will give that extra inch.
I was told that it's good to kind of work the stairs for your kind of movements or joints.
That's Niamh, mate.
That's exactly what it was.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Cotty. Go back to your story. Yeah. Niamh used to make me do that at Dundee, but he couldn't see the stand for his room, so I'd just sit at the top. I'd time it how long it took to go up and then 8, and then I'd just walk along the back and come down the 9.
Mate, that's why he got the Euros.
You know, I'm sitting here.
And that's what he'd wanted me to. I had a couple of kind of niggles. Actually, how I found out about the heart problem was I'd done my ankle ligaments away with Celtic in the Villarreal tournament. Done it in the final against Liverpool, and I was coming back from it and took a bloody heart palpitations. And that was it. And then, so Niamh was up where my relationship started with Niamh.
Some man into Niamh. Do you ever come across that?
Never,
He does denote you a lot. He could look at you through the back and could see you written all that.
He's got a few different.
You still type with him?
I've not spoken to him
recently. He's patched him.
When I drive into Motherwell, he goes, what was it, my cask guy? He said, what was that when he said earlier? And he uses his big Q7 to go into Scotland. How bad is that, mate? Is that what he said?
Tells you all you know, I've not got Q7, so we're all good. Thank God that there's factual there that he's lying.
On Niamh, though.
Right, mate.
He used to call Mikey McGlinchey Nails. He'd be like, morning, Nails. And Mikey McGlinchey's like, where's Nails came from? He went, you're that far up McGeady's arse, so I could see your toenails.
And was that true?
No, really, not a bit. Niamh just gets something in his head and he goes with it, didn't he? Right, but see that extra stuff, sorry. So was that every day you would do a wee bit extra?
Yeah, no, so Niamh wanted me doing kind of things like that on the stairs, kind of for kind of injury prevention as well. Then I would always go to the guy Hugh Watson for extra training to try and get kind of fitter, quicker, just try and improve on what you've got. When you've not got a touch, you need kind of working on everything about it.
I need to ask you as well, sorry, I know you played with one screwball at Thistle, but do you play with Gary Fraser?
Is he
the thickest guy you've ever met in your life, but the most lovable?
Aye, Gary's one of the, like, he had so much ability and could have played anywhere, yeah. I think.
Was he that good?
Oh, he's brilliant. You should see him strike a ball, it's beautiful.
Oh, that's lovely. He would strike 5 into the stand, but the way he hit every one of them was beautiful. Yeah. Like, he was so his switches as well, like, were. I got on it. Honestly, half my clips at Thistle would probably be...
That's what you used to do, isn't it? McMillan, and if Gaz opened his body up, you'd go and he would hit that big diagonal.
Flat one.
Flat, yeah.
Like a Gerrard pass. That's what you'd probably describe it. He was brilliant. But no, he wasn't the smartest. I've came across a few that under the brightest. Brophy. I got on well with Brophy, but he's up there. Oh, just daft, thick as a brush. Eamon Brophy's the first person that's bought a brand new, a second-hand car. The day what drives it out, we're going to the stadium in it. And it's going, like, we arrived at Rugby Park and it was minging. It was the noise it made, it was incredible. But he'd keep it for 3 years and it was a nice car. Honestly, it must have been fifth hand. Oh, honestly.
The legend we want to hear, Cal Naismith. You've got a story for him?
I've got a story for Cal. He came in Thistle and I knew him from playing against my age group at Rangers and I thought he'd quality player, bags of ability. Didn't know him as a person. And he comes in and he's quite confident at the time. I imagine he still is, and he's just comes on as a sub. And Jackie was the manager, and Paul Payton's standing over a free kick at New Douglas Park. And Paul Payton wouldn't really be threatening with it.
I don't know what Paul's doing standing over a free kick.
He's probably standing over to put it into the box. So it's all right, it was all good. We get the big man up. And I'm standing there, and Cal turns around. And bear in mind, Paul Payton's like an experienced pro. Cal's could be maybe his first team game. Goes up to him. I'll take it. It's going one place. Proceeded to take it, right? And put it in the stand. I've never laughed. I was on the pitch, you trying to be serious and angry. I was howling.
Was he like that in training sort of time as well?
Sometimes I was. He was some character. Still so much ability. He could go left. I think watching him for Luton, he was playing centre half. He honestly could play anywhere.
How did he play with Thistle?
He played, would be right mid or up front. Or he could honestly could play anywhere. Anywhere. Thistle, he would play anywhere across the four. Up front, kind of right, up front, in the hole or left. Apart from centre mid, he didn't play in centre mid.
Would he ever give the gaffer shouts?
I couldn't remember. He probably did, but that was a long time ago. Jeez. Struggle to remember last
then week. Down south, mate, to Luton.
Yeah.
How was that?
Kenilworth Road, what a place, old school.
By the way, I love Kenilworth.
Yeah.
Did you like it to play playing?
No, it's not. It's very tight, innit?
See, I thought it was a lovely, like, atmosphere and
yeah,
tight.
Yeah, on top, the crowd's on top of you,
innit? Aye. I quite enjoyed it, but I know, I went down there, and that's Christmas before I left Thistle, Blackpool came in for me in the Championship. And I thought, the pitch, I don't know if you remember at the time, the pitch was like a swamp.
Can I remember it?
And I was like that, I'll try and get something. I'd love to play in the Championship. I still say that to this day. I'd love the opportunity to see if I was good enough for that level. And I thought, right, I'll knock it back. And then the summer came and nothing in the Champ came up. And it was dropping kind of League One, League Two teams. And I just wanted a change. I could have went to Dundee United with Jackie. But I wanted a fresh challenge. I'd played in Scotland. I wanted to see what it was like. And Luton was a bit of a project. There was a scene with our attendances to get promoted.
Yeah, they're not a League Two club, though. They're not a League Two team,
but they were at the time. So I thought, right, I'll go and I'll be part of the kicking on. They'd signed Paddy McCourt. They'd signed Scott Cuthbert.
Oh, if you think Snoddy doesn't run back, how was it playing with Paddy?
Fortunately, he got the free roll, which was brilliant. I actually just went down there for a fresh challenge and just didn't really work out. I ended up, I think, played about 75, 80 games. And it was Steve Clark's first question to me when he came to Killy. He says, why did you come back up? And I just said, I didn't enjoy it. I said, you could have stayed down there easy with the games, played 80 games or something like that. And I just went, I didn't want to bounce about League One and League Two teams. I says, I wanted to try and my dream wasn't to play in League One or League Two. And I'm closer to my dream where I was. And he said, no, fair enough.
What was the standard like, mate, down there compared to up here?
League Poo's tough, isn't it? League Poo is tough. It's a slog.
Is it not a lot of...
I don't know how Si played in it.
Before DeCanio came, it was rubbish. But when he came, it was different, mate, because he didn't want us to kick the ball.
Because that's what I didn't... And that's where we tried... When the new manager came in, Nathan Jones, it was all about trying to play. And I started to love it again. And I just didn't manage to find the form I needed. It was weird, but the physicality of some of the teams, they're not footballers, they're rugby players. And by the way, and amongst it, there's some very, very good players, but that's why you see, and probably amongst all the three leagues, the Championship, League One and League Two, is some will come up to Scotland and flop, and some will come and do well. It's just a real mixed bag, and it's the same with us going down the road. It's really hard to tell if somebody's going to do well or do badly, and I just found it just relentless. They were playing all these different places.
Aye.
Accrington, Stanley, Springsteen, travelling. And I kind of missed family when the crux came to it. I wanted to come back up the road and it wasn't worth it. And Lee McCulloch gave me a great opportunity to sign for Kilmarnock.
But by the way, half the players in the Prem I played against them in League Two. See, Watkins at Exeter, mate, League Two.
I played against all. Uh-huh. I say all these if I know them, I don't. But Watkins.
Who was the best player you played against down there? Anybody knew that went on and Watkins obviously is one.
Watkins probably the one that would stand out. I played against the boy. I can't tell you. His young boy was at Exeter and he got a move to Chelsea and he's plays. I think, is it Pianza? He plays for Chef U.
What position?
Centre half now. But he was playing at 16 in League Two.
Two, uh-huh.
And that would tell, he was 16 and he was getting on the ball. Exeter played a bit of football. He was getting on it and making things happen. I was like, this guy's 16. It was incredible for that level because it would be man's football. To break in at that level is probably even harder than it is to break in Prem and Champ.
Yeah. What about ability-wise? Have you played with anyone as good as Paddy in training?
I don't know if there's anyone as good as Paddy.
Ability-wise,
second to none. He's incredible. The weight, things like his weight of pass. And he's the only person I think I've ever played with that is undoubtedly quicker with the ball than without the ball. And he's so good. He actually used to stay. I lived in I shared a house with a boy, Josh McCoy, and Paddy used to stay at the weekends with us just before the games because see him travelling up for Brighton. And he was some guy.
Have a few red wines.
Didn't have any red wines. We kept him off it, and we'd go his easies every pre-match for some chicken pasta. And to be fair to him, he'd treat us now and again.
He was money, wasn't he, on the pitch?
Oh, really? And training as well.
Aye.
And that was probably the only frustrating. It was like two polar opposites. You had me, the grafter, and you'd Paddy, the
sheer ability.
Is it Derry Pelly?
Derry Pelly, yeah.
He's
but that's what people didn't realise of Paddy. I think he is just a dribbler, but his weight of
passing's a joke,
man. And he finishes with 2 feet.
He used to say to me, look, see when I get, I don't need you out there. Come in here, I'll find you with that one.
Yeah.
And I still don't think I've ever understood.
And instead of playing you wide, I'll slip you in there.
I love that.
So you're actually on goal.
Aye. I was like, no, but I don't want to be an on goal. That means I miss. But no, he was honestly, ability wise. Look, I've some of the boys were in Scotland and stuff, but he was just a different type of ability. He was the kind of just the guy you'd want in your team in training. He was so good.
Top three set Scotland. I want to know that. Top three players in Scotland.
Oh, a great question.
So you've said McTominay.
Am I out at?
You're out at me, sorry.
Right, bugger.
We'll put you fourth.
It's a hard one because you like Robbo, KT. Like ability normally pushes you towards like an attacker because they're normally the ones that.
No, but just who in training every day impresses you? So KT, Robbo.
I would probably say Stu Armstrong.
Lovely wow. Football player.
He's easy. Like,
ended my career.
Good looking guy as well. He's, like, yeah. he's got all. He's like Charlie.
What about Jamesy? Would he be up there?
Jamesy, I would say, is better in games than training. I joke in training, but like I hate playing anything in games. But in, like he's better. And I'd say, but I don't know if he doesn't.
I know what you mean, mate. You know,
it's just one of the players like
comes alive in games.
You can get people. He's the player with midweek internationals that they're good during the week and terrible at the weekend. Jamesy could not. He's incredible at the weekend.
Who's the hardest player?
You were midweek international, you know.
Aye,
he was a training ground international. I
who
can
was
tell.
Who was the hardest player you played against? Now, we've got a great story about this. Sterling.
He's
so I'm in the gym, right, on the bike. Was it Liverpool or Queen's Park Rangers that came? Kind of trick Taylor.
What was it, Celtic?
Celtic, right. So Liverpool have came.
He'd signed that summer for QPR. I don't know what age he was under 16.
Right.
And he was a disgrace.
So he played left mid, you played right back?
I played right back, he was left mid. And they're telling me, like, this guy's been bought for 5 million or 3 million. Like, what's going on here? Centre half plays for Germany, incredible, right? So that was my first experience of kind of going, can I talk about players before it and getting a bit nervous about it?
Yeah.
And I played in interview.
Do you think he got you released for Celtic?
But then no, because I redeemed myself. But on that story, I think there was a wee clip going about of his highlights when he started playing for Liverpool, and I appeared in the first five of them. So who's that dafty in the green and white?
Were you sitting watching that?
You could see in the background Slaney pedalling at 2 mile an hour.
I was going to piss himself, mate. Tears my face. That was a scuddy day.
It was the first time you playing you. Right, don't know anything about him. I'll go tight.
I'll be flighting, man.
He rolls me.
Yeah. Was he stronger? Huh?
Yeah. But second one. Right, I'll back off and show my line. Knocks it to the line and comes across me. I'm like, okay, we're in trouble here. Third one is, come on, centre half, can you hear me?
Help us out.
I'm screaming at the window.
Get at him.
No joke, I'm screaming at the window. Like, take him off.
Oh,
but so you redeemed yourself.
But we won the game though, so that's the main. I dug.
Aye, you get something for five. Five.
No, I dug deep that day. Robbie Thompson got a couple of saves, but I dug deep and we survived.
No, so you redeemed yourself. What game was that? I can't remember.
Aye, so we then played them in the champ. Like there was a run. What was it? I think it was the next gen cup. They called it. It was the Champions League, and a certain Tony Watt was on trial. So Tony Watt was playing up top, and by the way, hands down the best trial I've ever seen. He was incredible. Because again, like Sterling, this young guy that's worth 5 million.
Just raw.
The centre halves were all these German international stuff. I was firing balls in behind. He was throwing them out the way, turning them, chopping them. That ugly chop he does, yeah. It's so like Suarez.
His shin. Chops with his shin, Tony, didn't he?
So incredible. But Sterling, and before the game, I was told that Stevie Frail came up to his look. This will show how far you came. You're up against him again defensively. And after the game, he came up to me and says, you were outstanding. So,
and then say, so third time, it's going to be in the Euros.
Oh, who's going to?
It's Rodgio.
You've got him. You've got his number.
If I'm on the pitch.
But you're praying that he plays the head of Foden to on that wide left.
I love the names you're throwing about. It's hopeless. A Foden, nah, does it?
No, but I'm saying, you'd rather play.
They're all a joke. They're all very good players.
Man, but I must say, would you say that was your best game in a Scotland jersey against Alaba? Because he's world class, mate, Alaba, isn't he?
100%,
I don't know. I think it maybe gets a wee bit more attention because it was Alaba and people thought I'd done well because he's how good he is. And I think did they not sign for somebody there? Some average team, 5-year deal.
Uh-huh. Not bad, eh?
And so he's obviously a top player, but he just didn't manage to do my job against him. They kind of worked hard. I didn't have particularly great highlights regarding ability, but I'd done my job, kept him quiet and got a couple of good passes in that. But I'm sure you
paced him a couple of times.
I don't know about that.
I think you did. You said he smelt brilliant. What was it?
Aye,
cool waters.
I've got his top. Did smells you? Incredible. Still, it was the one he wore and it smells incredible. I don't know what mint is like. See when you smell somebody's breath, it's just the chewing gum. His top smells like that. Uh-huh. So fresh. It's a bit weird that I'm saying that. I'm sniffing it now, isn't it? But then, that is my party piece. When you come out, smell that.
Any other good tops?
Got one of Hazard's.
Oh, come on, Guy. Did you go up to him?
No.
He came up to you?
Sodzy. Shags.
Geezer.
Any chance? Geezer. I've heard a lot about you.
So as you've got the manager's Jacob on, you're picking five-a-side team. Who's your five players that you've played against that would make that five-a-side team? Well, that you've played against? So James is in. Captain.
Sterling.
Sterling's got to be in it. You can't end up for him. Can
I make a place for you?
Oh.
Who's the kit man?
So who would your five be? They played against.
I'm trying to.
Doesn't he need to be directly?
You just want me fire at big names, like I don't know. Like,
aye, big names. I don't want big names.
I want just fire big names.
Aye, in the big time now, son. Come on, tell him.
Right, like, you want big names? I'll give you big names.
Yeah.
We'll go for ones that are just in my room, right?
Right.
you want balance? Or you want just all at attack?
Balance. I'll go. He's in charge. Go balance.
Let me balance.
So I need a couple. So that makes it hard.
We'll see how good a coach you're going to be here.
Sterling makes it. Then we'll go.
De Bruyne's got to be in there.
Vertonghen.
Right, was he good Vertonghen? Eh?
Yeah, it's just it's kind of
lovely left.
Massive big guy. So he's middle. We're playing a well attack, but I've got him at the back. Then I'll go. Sterling, Hazard, all about ballers on it. Alaba. It's just a big name. Alaba.
One more.
Then we'll go.
Lawless.
Hey. Dykesy Linkett. I need Dykesy Linkett. So aye. They're going to hit him and he's going to give it to send it back to them. But I think a big dog. I would put
Lukaku.
He was big. Aye, he's the biggest guy I've ever seen.
I've played against Lukaku, he is ridiculous.
I put Lukaku up top. No, Solomon. Put Solomon for
he's good.
He's the most underrated. I don't know if he's underrated because I don't know where he plays, but unbelievable. He's like a Hazard. That four, I'd have James coming on.
30 minutes to bring on. What about, before we go, any last Paul Sleen stories?
I don't really have any, do
we? No, I was first team in yours.
I was dogging duck and he was Prem. Nah, but I remember he came in at Thistle and I just remember him
terrorising everybody.
Just constantly with ice in his groins.
Groins are fucked.
Is this more about a bag of ice?
No wonder.
Who's the biggest character at Motherwell?
It was Decky Gallagher. He's
no biggest that way.
He'd be the biggest character in football.
He's the biggest all round. I think that's the best way for it. Nah, he's loud. He's chirping. He's brilliant.
What? Just getting on, boys?
Obviously, as he's told the whole of Scotland, he carried us to the Euros. You know what I mean?
That's brilliant. I love that sort of pattern. Motherwell, though, done well since you've been there.
I think we disappointed. We didn't finish top six, but no, it was when Alexander's came in, we put a bit of a run together. I think is it third in the form table?
What about Norman Robinson? Because everyone says he's such a good coach.
Not really good. I think just we had a lot of injuries. I think we'd six signed goalies this season. First team goalies because they were getting injured constantly. Trevor Carson was number one, get injured. Scott Fox number two, get injured. Like it's been a real weird one. So you lose like a base of that and it's constant churning. Kind of makes it difficult, and he lost a couple of. I think Charles Dunn struggled to come back, and then Liam Donnelly as well. So the two of them have just come back fit just at the tail end of the season there. So So they're big names for the team from the previous season. And when you lose that in any team, you lose two of your best players, you're going to find it difficult. And that's what kind of happened. You're obviously losing Turnbull. Sell Turnbull as well. It's obviously great business for the club, but he's a hard man in the place.
Yeah. But Paul, I like Polworth.
Mm-hmm.
Nice football player.
Good squad of players, that.
Very good. Technically, very good.
Very good technically. I like to put Inverness as well. And then the last question, mate, the standing on the pitch at Hampden.
So as we went through the setbacks, the cheers, the joys, now in the summer you're going to be standing there, the national anthem at Hampden. How amazing is it going to be, mate? The best?
It certainly makes everything worth it. Yeah. I think that's where you need to try. In football, you need to try and strive for victories where you can. And certainly, if I don't play, if I don't start, being involved in this tournament will be...
You're starting, mate. Dennis, back yourself, you're starting.
And are we going to win it?
Easily.
Greece done it, didn't he? So
Greece did it. I just wondered as well, do people treat you differently in the street now? Well, what you've done at school? No, they don't really know. Nobody comes up to you about the Scotland stuff?
I get it more now. I stay in Motherwell, and now some fans, like Motherwell fans, stay local. That's just obviously goes with the territory. Got a bottle of whiskey. A neighbour brought in a bottle of whiskey for this beating Serbia.
Right, and that's all you've really had?
No, not too much. It's kind of, my neighbour's in that local, look kind of congratulate, nothing over and above that really.
He's going to wear a Polish outfit to the SWG3 in tribute to your mum.
Stephen O'Donnell. What a shout that is, isn't it? Oh, my. But what a man, Simon. What an interview, man. One of the best.
What a guy. One of the best at Euros, mate.
Thanks very much for having us,
and hopefully Slaney will get a new pair of socks.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.